You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Joining us from, I actually don't know. We'll talk to them about where they're joining us from in a moment. But they've recently released their new sophomore album, Set Her Free, which, as the name implies, has lots and lots of themes about sort of self-actualization and putting your best foot forward to improve your own life. We have Elena here on the line. And where are you joining us from, Elena?
Kia ora, Zach. I'm joining you from Ellerslie in Auckland.
Oh, Auckland. I had a feeling. I had a bloody feeling. I should have assumed. You know, sometimes you don't want to assume, but some assumptions can be right. How are things up there? What's the vibe there?
It's good. The vibe is great. It's a big day. I love it when it rains. It feels really cozy. Mm-hmm. I've lived in Auckland on and off, but I am a Rotorua girl, so maybe that's the vibes.
Do you get used to the smell of Rotorua after quite a while?
Yeah. I guess it's like a, because it's in the sulphur areas of the city,
yeah.
So you just know when you're driving into town, like there's a certain part of town you go past, you're like, oh yeah, it just reminds me of home now, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of like a kind of nostalgic and warm smell rather than I don't want to say warm smell, but it's comforting though. That's really sweet.
It's something. Yeah, it's home. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, I've got a sort of equivalent, which is whenever you land into Dunedin from the airport, you can immediately smell, cow shit because there's tons of cows around. And so that smell has sort of become nice, but that's a bit more extreme than
familiarity, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, the new record, Set Her Free. What are we setting her free from? That's my first question to you.
Great question. I think Set It Free, so that was the last song on the album. Oh, it's the last song on the tracklist order, but one of the first song I wrote with the producer who wrote half the album with me.
Ben Malone.
Ben Malone, yeah. And we had it was the first time we'd kind of spent more than a kitchen chat together, and he had a synth in the middle of the room. And we just were playing around with knobs and making some sounds, and we got this loop happening, and I just started singing "What of I if I set her free" over and over, and the song itself is, I think it's like a couple minutes, but it's spliced together from a 10-minute jam that he just took from that studio day, and I remember getting the bounce back, and I was like, what is this? You know, I didn't exactly understand what I was singing at the time. I just knew it felt, I guess, bigger than me.
Mm.
And the album, at that point I had about half written from demos. I'd done a lot of traveling and writing.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the moment I was like, this is the answer. The greatest act of love is to be set free, and whatever that means to you.
Mm.
And each song on the album, the tracklist title is, it's the answer to each one. The love of my life, set her free. Mother's mother, set her free. Animal, set her free. So it feels like it encapsulates the entirety of what I'm trying to really talk about.
Mm, mm. Did you go traveling after your debut album, which was called Self-Portrait of a Woman Unraveling? I had it somewhere on my notes. Did you go traveling after that record as a reward? Because I read that you were pretty burnt out and pretty exhausted after making that. You said it felt like one big therapy session.
It was, yeah. I'm so proud of the album. It was exactly what I needed to do at that point in my human life and artist life, I guess.
Mm.
But there was, because the album was so personal and really centered on this kind of trying to answer this eternal question of who am I, I felt I'd almost dug as far inward as I could, and there was nothing really left to excavate in that point in my life.
Mm.
And I'd also never really dreamed past the debut album. You know, I'd always been like, I can't wait to do an album one day. And then I was on the other side of that, and I was like, ooh, this is weird. But like, almost like a baby little fawn just trying to learn to walk again. Mm. But at the same way, it felt really exciting. And so I did a few writing trips with some friends in LA, and also got to be in some really amazing rooms at some songwriting camps. And I went in with the perspective of, like, I'm just going to learn. I love this craft so much, and I feel there's a bit of a ceiling I've hit as an artist, and I want to keep expanding. And that was the intention around the album. And it just, as soon as I kind of recalibrated and found the North Star, and I was like, oh, I'm going to write about love. Because after all of my internal work I'd kind of done, I turned back outwards from that internal place, and all I could see was this love that was woven through every facet of my life from various people in my life. And I was like, oh, that's the through line. That's all that there is.
The glue, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love to think about the, when you look at a table and there's, you don't appreciate the glue that's holding it all together, but that's love. It's, and if you shine a light on it for a moment, you're like, oh, thank you. This, we wouldn't be here without this, you know.
Completely, man, completely. And it's also always more powerful than hate is one thing to always keep in mind about love. But I want to briefly touch on, how did you avoid burning out with this project? Is it because the nature of the album was less vulnerable, less, you know, as you say, excavating yourself? Is it the fact that you took a lot more time with it?
Yeah, I think I did a lot of, I think as I grow throughout life in general and learn more about myself and kind of constantly gain more perspectives on the creative process, this time I was able to really witness my place in the songwriting room more than I have before. And it's super easy, I think, in any creative practice to start getting in the way of the song. It could be, you know, the self-doubt starts creeping in, and you start getting scared, and you start thinking it's not what I want it to be. And this time I managed to
kind of avoid that, or reconcile with it a bit more.
It's almost like I could see myself getting in the way at points. I'm like, oh, get out of the way, Elena. So that was really helpful. And I think sitting in that place in the room, I was able to honour the song more as well. Yeah, it's different. And I feel more excited about creativity than I ever have before as well.
That's mean. And that creativity doesn't just extend to songs as well. You've been making a lot of art recently. I saw that you put on an immersive album party last night up in Tamaki Makaurau. Was all of the art on display, was it all yours?
It was.
Crazy, man.
Yeah, I'm crazy. So I've been painting for like the last 3 weeks to pull these pieces together. It was a dream that I had of creating this really tangible experience of, I love when you go into like a museum or an art gallery, and there's this very intimacy or like a privacy to your experience as you go around. And I really wanted to find a visual element to help people come and like really sit with the album in their own time. And I'm so grateful for the team that helped me put it together. Some of my best friends, and I looked around last night and I was like, this is good. We did such a good job. And it's going to be open for tonight and then tomorrow morning as well.
Awesome. Awesome. I do love a bit of interactivity and multimedia stuff. In particular, the sort of the sculptures that were on display. They seemed really, really, really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. The ocean, from what I could tell, has kind of a small but powerful role in the storytelling on this record. The cover features you on a beach taking a stroll. And also on the track, But It's Lonely. There's lyrics like, my feelings are an ocean and yours are a pool. And if you're an island that I want to be on, but what if I'll only be your shore? You know, what does water sort of represent to you in the storytelling of this thing?
Yeah, I think the ocean feels to me, especially for But It's Lonely, like there's a magnitude of loneliness that sometimes I feel this feeling, or any kind of massive emotion that arises. To me, it feels like this tide rising around me, and I you know, when you try push it back down, it's like, oh, well, this might swallow me up. I'm a bit scared of whatever this is.
Yeah.
And I think the acknowledging that, I'm like, oh, this is okay. Like, I can be here. I can survive this. And trusting that ocean to almost take you and go with it is quite healing.
Mm.
It's the best way. I'm constantly trying to find... All I do with songwriting is try to articulate something, some feeling, you know? And I'm really proud of But It's Lonely, because I was trying to write that song and try to encapsulate what that kind of loneliness feels like for years. And then I ended up being just like, oh, But It's Lonely, you know? that's where I got to.
I do love, I can't get enough of the line, I'll only be your shore. It feels like you're just about to get on something, but it never quite happens. It's just kind of always in a state of limbo. And yeah, I don't know, that line really, really resonates with me, as does the track Braveheart, which has a really 80s vibe to it, I found, with the sort of eerie, ethereal synths closing out the song, and that distinct modulation that sort of reminds me of, you know, almost the Eurythmics, almost Not in Love by 10cc. And I want to know, where'd the sound for that track come from?
Oh, thank you so much. That song was such a bizarre way to write a song for me. I hadn't written like that before. Usually I'll get an idea and it kind of drops down. Like, if I could say, it comes from like up there and drops down in my head. But this one, my producer Ben, we were actually recording the vocals for another song that day on the album Animal, and I kept hitting this wall. I couldn't really get the character that I was supposed to really lean into for that song. And so we went and had lunch and came back, and Ben just started playing the piano, the piano riff that's in the song. And I was like, what is that? What is that? And half of my brain was like, no, we need to finish this album. We need to, you know, focus on what our task is. But then I started, as Ben kept playing, it felt like the song came up from like my belly up, almost like vomit. You know, when you start wanting to throw up. And I was like, oh, okay, this, my body wants to write the song. And I think the timing of it was me a few days earlier. It was a really potent, I think, time while we were deep in the creative process. So you're constantly just like in this, it's like this parallel universe where you're getting all these epiphanies and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the secrets to the universe. And I found this, like, I think there's a part of me that doesn't love myself, you know, and really there's a self-loathing or shame thing that I need to lift off and realize that that's my job to do. There's a... Yeah, I know at the start you mentioned you were playing John Hopkins, and there's at the end of, I think, Music for Psychedelic Therapy, he has Sit Around the Fire, which is like a spoken word piece. And in that song, he says, the real work you have to do is in the privacy of your own heart. And it's always stuck with me. And that was the line I got, like, oh, the battle's only you. It's only in you and your brave heart. Completely. No one can witness you in it. No one can do it for you. And that was that song of me, I guess, turning around and being like, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't answer your question about the Sonics.
No, I appreciate the very in-depth answer there. I completely agree with that. There's a really great phrase I like, which is, wherever you go, there you are. Like, you can never try and escape yourself, because that's all, you're trapped.
you gotta
make peace with the girl, you gotta set her free.
Exactly. And I think from that, like, we're super intuitive, Ben and I, and the song just built itself. Like, I don't really remember, we didn't make any active choices about inspirations for that song. It was just like, what does this need? And, you know, we chucked in a vocoder, and then at one point Ben picked up the harmonica and just started playing a little tune in it. And at one point I was sitting at the back of the room and I was just holding a note really high, and then Ben was just directing me like a conductor, and like, go up, now go down, go up. And I just held this note for ages, so it was very like building this feeling,
yeah,
and trying to capture it in the moment.
Oh, that's so cool, man. That's so cool. Another real highlight on this thing for me was the track Mother's Mother, which is, you know, an ode to the matrilineal line, to femininity, to those who nurture and care for us. Do you know much about your, like, matrilineal, like, ancestry? Did you, was that something that you kind of went into when you were writing the track?
I love this question because it's been, I've always had I had a very close relationship with my nana on mm-hmm. my mum's, I have the most amazing nanas all around, like even on my dad's side, I was just very close with all my motherly figures. And when I did a Hip Hop Tikanga course in Rotorua probably a few years ago now, and one of the assignments was do something about your whakapapa, and I did a piece on my nana. But I remember, and I've always been, I think growing up in Rotorua too, and I'm so drawn to and love the Māori culture to talk about your whakapapa and where your land is.
Completely.
And I've always had this longing of like, where's mine, you know? And where I know that we came over from Ireland, and I know that my last name is from Wales, and there's all these pieces that I'm still trying to piece together.
Mm.
And I think we can trace back to a couple of generations up, and when I think my great-great-nana came over on the boat, I think my mum still has her chest that she brought over. But it's a big journey that I've just started going on in the last 5 years. I'm dying to go and retrace those steps and feel my ancestors.
Mm.
As I was making that song, I really had this vision of just seeing them just holding each other all the way up, like kind of ascending into the sky. So that was one of the paintings I made of Foremother's Mother for the art gallery.
Mm. I've said it before on the program, but my dad has a really cute phrase, a really like lovely, warming phrase. He said, when you look in the mirror, you see all your ancestors staring back at you, which is really
so
sweet.
Beautiful. I love that.
That's awesome. We don't have a whole lot of time left here on the program. I do want to know, do you have a tour on the cards for 2026? Can we expect to see you, you know, move around the country doing some shows?
Yes, I'm planning to do a tour in August, and I'll have the dates announced soon, but at the moment, it's Auckland, Rotorua, and Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see. I'd love to come down south so badly.
I'd love to have you, man.
I promise we're working on it.
There's plenty of great venue here in Auckland.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to come on and talk to me. I really, really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions, considerations that you might want to leave our listeners with?
Just thank you for taking the time, even for yourself, Zach. I think there's moment. What I wanted to take away from this album was just how profound love is in every aspect. So I hope anyone who wants to listen to the album or even sit with that love and the magnitude of it, I think that's what can change the world.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Alrighty, thank you so much, Elena. Take care.
Thank you.
Cheers, man. All right, folks, that was Elena. We're talking to Elena about her new album, sophomore album at that, called Set Her Free. We're going to play the track Braveheart from that record, and then we'll probably play a few more songs and then have a few ramble chats. We'll see what's going on in the news. Here is Braveheart by Elena from a new record, Set Her Free. You're listening to The One, Mā Te Wā.
Who put this thing inside of me that I can't bear to see? And
that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.